Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Strafford, George Kurtz with you on this Saturday morning. Some college football later today. You'll have some of that here at 10 a.m. on FNTSY Radio. And of course, week two of the NFL season, Thursday Night Football in the books, Bengals beating the Ravens, A.J. Green with a big output there, and now we look forward to Sunday's games. We've made our way through a bunch of the 1 p.m.s. We're going to round out those and, of course, hit some of the fours as we round out the show, give you a breakdown of each and some wagering ideas as we get through as well, talking over-unders and potential plays on the money line and the spreads in each of these contests, but also trying to get you ready for your season-long leagues all at the same time. Multifaceted here. George was just singing the praises of the New York Jets as we, no, that was me, as we went into break. Hey, listen, George, like, this is a team that is going to have its ups and downs. Sam Darnold is not going to be Aaron Rodgers. I know people love to project that he's, you know, the franchise is here. Let's slow that down a little bit. But he's obviously talented. And Quincy Enunwa has shown himself, when healthy, to be a more than capable NFL receiver. And now you're hearing the quarterback speak of, it's so good to be able to throw him the ball. He's such a great receiver. This seems like a prime spot for Enunwa, again, to have a big game, get the target share. I know Jermaine Kearse is active. He's not on the injury report, so it's a question of Terrell Pryor, Jermaine Kearse, Robbie Anderson, and Enunwa. Who's number three there? I would guess it would be Kearse over Pryor, but we'll see what happens come Sunday. Is Enunwa in your plans? Is this a guy that you maybe have rostered some places and somebody you're starting this week against the Miami Dolphins?
You know, when it comes to a young quarterback, you always wonder who will be their security blanket. You know, who will they be looking to throw to when when the blitz is coming? You know, when they need someone to get the ball to, when they need to move the chains. Usually that's a tight end. Jets don't really have one of those. You know, not a good pass-catching one anyway. Enunwa seems to be that player for Sam Darnold. Once again, small sample size, one game. And Enunwa's a really solid running wide receiver in his own right anyway. So, yes, I do like Enunwa. He's somebody I might give a lot of consideration to starting over Davante Adams this week, with or without Aaron Rodgers. Once again, yep. I don't expect that to go well for Adams. My only thing is Adams might still get a touchdown. You know, I could see that happening there. But Enunwa's someone I've seen. It seems like every wide receiver question I've gotten this week has involved Enunwa. Not always with Adams, mind you, but it just always Enunwa's in there. And should you start him? In most cases, I would say yes, you probably should. He's a decent wide receiver. Jets can throw the ball. Miami's not the greatest defense on the planet here. So I do like this. This Sam Darnold thing is going to be something to watch for years. Not so much for the Jets. I think Sam Darnold's going to be a very good quarterback. But it's just funny. The Giants passed on him. They passed on a possible franchise quarterback. You know, I said this over and over again. Unless the GM for the Giants, which is Gettleman, unless he was positive, that none of these other guys, other than Baker Mayfield, who went number one, so he couldn't take him, unless he was positive, Allen, Rosen, Darnold, even Lamar Jackson, unless he was positive, none of these guys was going to be a franchise quarterback, then taking Barkley over Darnold was a huge mistake. You don't pass about a franchise quarterback when your quarterback right now is no longer a franchise quarterback, and he's 37. And you know he's not going to be around in a couple of years. This is not a knock on Barkley whatsoever. You know, I think Barkley is going to be a great talent and have a great career. But you just don't pass on a franchise quarterback. And what we saw Monday night in Detroit from Darnold has to make Gettleman go, oh, crap.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I was one right there with you of shouting that Barkley's great. And listen, pedigree, he made himself into a fantastic running back at Penn State, but he wasn't. he was recruited out of high school. He wasn't a top prospect, and he made what work in Happy Valley there, and he's talented and he's dynamic, but he's not going to turn around a franchise, and this Giants team is going to use him. They have a lot of talent, but when Eli's gone, they don't have an answer, and even now they don't necessarily have an answer with Eli there, so I'm completely with you on that analysis. Seeing that this game opened as a pick 'em, a couple of different places, and now Jets -3, well, that can't be right because implied totals are, well, either way, -3 now for the Jets. 20.25 implied live total for the Miami Dolphins, 23.25 for the Jets. So a 44 or 43.5 over under. Not expecting a ton of scoring here. I could see this one breaking out a bit to challenge that higher part of the over under. But I love Quincy Enunwa. I was on Team Enunwa over Robbie Anderson. I know everyone loved the big play factor that is Robbie Anderson, but Enunwa is just so much steadier. He's sort of your cash game wide receiver. You know, he's the guy that you're going to trust to have the targets, have the receptions, and give you that nice safe floor at wide receiver. Whereas Robbie Anderson, obviously a home run hitter when it comes to this matchup, potential high upside play. Dolphins are a bad football team. They just are. What do you have? Devontae Parker's playing, right? Let's see.
Yay!
Still questionable.
Yay! Devontae Parker plays. Who cares? I mean, that's a guy who, ever since day one coming into the NFL, has been hurt. Had the foot injury almost immediately since reporting to the Dolphins. What are you expecting even if he does play? I mean, it's Ryan Tannehill. It's not like it's Aaron Rodgers. You know, so who cares there? Devontae Parker has proven to be nothing special here. The only wide receiver I would even think about starting is Kenny Stills. And even with him, he's not a high-volume guy. You need him to hit that big play. Last week he did, twice. You know, is it going to happen again? Jets defense looked awfully good last week against Detroit. Now, they said they knew what the plays were. Well, that's true or not, who the hell knows. But they certainly seemed like they knew what the plays were. You know, they played all that well. The secondary is good, really good. I'm certainly not starting Park. I don't care if he plays. Stills, you know, he might be in one DFS lineup just in case, but he's not a guy I'm looking to plug in there either.
Makes sense to me. Anybody else from this contest worth discussing? Powell or Correll or any of the running backs?
Running backs are always worth discussing because there just aren't enough to go around. You know, so yeah, they're all in play. Powell. I wish the Jets would use him more. No, they did in week one. They used him probably the right way, but in past years they haven't. They seem to go away from him if he gets off to a couple of, you know, not the greatest touches, where he's, you know, whatever carries or catching the ball and he gets no yardage. They seem to go away from the man. But they should be using him, and Crowell is a 1-2 punch. They're both usable. They're both, you know, that bottom RB2, top RB3 guys. Powell, I'll admit, though, is somebody I would only consider in a PPR or a half PPR. In a standard league, it's all Crowell. That said, I don't expect either one to do, you know, huge damage for you or approach running back one status, but they're both in the conversation of running back twos.
Yep. I think that's the right analysis right there. As we continue through each of these games, we are going to open up the phone lines in the next segment. So if you want to get set for that, 844-843-6879, give us a call with any of your start sit questions, DFS questions, or wagering questions, as we will do our best to discuss all of those topics as we roll through our second hour here on Fantasy Sports Today. Up next, this is an intriguing game to me, George, and I don't know many people would say that, but it's the Chargers at Buffalo. And one, it's obviously intriguing from a talent perspective and a talent disparity when you have Gordon, Phillip Rivers, you throw Keenan Allen, you have Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams, you have Benjamin, you have tons of wide receivers here that can do damage to this Buffalo defense. But it's a West Coast team traveling to the East Coast for a 1 p.m. contest. And that's always games I enjoy tracking because of change in time, and yes, they're professionals, and yes, but this is one. It's the other one that's happening this weekend is Hawaii is playing today at noon at Army at Mikey Stadium. That's a crazy one. So they're playing 6 a.m. their time. So I'm just intrigued to see how they play. So this is one where I feel like though the Chargers should win, and they're -8, Buffalo is enticing to me, that this game might be closer than it should be because of the dynamics and because of the context that it's being played in. What do you make of this one? Are you in on the Chargers? Do you think Buffalo has a chance to keep this one close? How does this one break down for you?
Oh, there's no way I'd bet on Buffalo. Let's put it that way. This is a bad roster, bad team. Chargers probably got a little bit of a wake-up call last week against Kansas City. They never play well against Kansas City. It's sort of historically, they just don't for whatever reason. So I guess we're going to chalk that up to it's fine. And they really don't have much of a home field advantage either. Not in that playing in my living room like they do out there in the stadium until they move into L.A. I get what you're saying. And once again, historically, West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast playing 1 o'clock games doesn't work well. It just doesn't. But this is Buffalo. Bad team. Josh Allen going to make his first NFL start, which certainly is the right thing because Nathan Peterman's terrible. Even if you want to believe in Allen, he still doesn't have much to throw to. You know, Charles Clay's a tight end too. Kelvin Benjamin is a wide receiver 4. You know, he's not a true NFL wide receiver 1. Like it's Antonio Brown out there where you have somebody. You know, Chargers are going to try and take LeSean McCoy away. You know what they're going to do? They're going to send Allen a lot of exotic looks that he didn't see during preseason to confuse him. The defense is, they're missing some parts. I mean, Joey Bosa won't play again, probably out for most of September. Maybe you'll see him in October. The defense didn't put a whole lot of pressure on Patrick Mahomes last week because mainly Bosa was out. Yeah, so there is some concern there that Allen will have some time here. I think the only way Buffalo covers this game is with a late score. You know, where I think the Chargers, maybe they don't blow them out, but the game's in hand, where you know they're going to win the whole game. Allen gets that late garbage time score, and you get a backdoor cover. That wouldn't shock me at all. That being said, I like the Chargers, and I like the over.
You have, as mentioned there, Josh Allen experience starting here. It's a tough stretch. I really think that Buffalo was hoping that Peterman could get them through the first 4 games of the season. You know, just sort of steer the ship and let Allen slowly make his way into his NFL career, but they go to him here, and obviously it's at home, so you prefer that than being on the road. But the next few defenses, including this one he is facing, could be a rude welcome to the NFL for the rookie quarterback as he makes his way into the starting lineup. I don't know if I'll pull the trigger here on Buffalo. I'll be honest. It's more of a pie in the sky. There is enough contextually here to feel like this could be a fun one to watch. And if I'm going to watch it, that +8 and +285 are both enticing to maybe chase a bit here. I don't think it's a safe one, but it could be a fun one, I think. And I will say, when it comes to wagering, it should be both from time to time. So the Buffalo Bills here at +8 is one that I'll continue to monitor and see if it even... maybe it gets pushed to +9, and then I'll take the plunge and see what happens before kickoff on Sunday morning. Let's talk next about Minnesota Green Bay. We've talked at length, to be honest, about this one already with Aaron Rodgers being questionable. You do have Cousins on the other side of this one. He was very, very good in the opener. Nothing spectacular, but very solid. You had Thielen and Diggs both having good enough games from a fantasy perspective. Running back Dalvin Cook got his. Latavius Murray got some carries and probably will get some goal line work from time to time. On the other side, obviously, it all hinges on Aaron Rodgers. What do you make of these matchups for the Minnesota Vikings players against Green Bay? Do you like them as DFS options or as maybe some 1v1s that you'd be deciding against in your season-long leagues?
You know, that Green Bay defense didn't play so bad against Chicago in the second half.
Right.
Sunday night. Now, maybe that's because Chicago took a little, took the foot off the gas there. You know, I wonder if that was part of the problem here. We've seen that before in the NFL, and you allowed Rodgers to get back in the game here. But the Green Bay defense didn't play and once again, they weren't world beaters, but they played solid here. That being said, I mean, you're starting Kirk Cousins, Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph. Dalvin Cook, I know he split some carries with Latavius Murray last week, and he had a big fumble that hurt there. But I'm starting all my normal characters with Minnesota. I think they'll be fine. I also think that – and it's going to be most weeks with Minnesota because I think that defense is so good. They're going to give the ball to the offense so many times that they're going to have more and more chances than most teams, more and more series to drive the ball down here. Even though the Green Bay defense has played better, they're not a good defense. They're not anywhere near a shutdown defense. They're a defense that relies on Aaron Rodgers to score 24-plus points, game in, game out. So, yeah, I like all my normal Minnesota characters here. I am much more worried about Green Bay. I'll say this over and over again. I don't own Aaron Rodgers. I don't think I own Devontae Adams either. I wanted to. Just wasn't able to get Adams in any league. I am looking for reasons not to start them this week, both of them. I'm hoping I'm deep enough on my roster to start going a different direction. Now, if I own Aaron Rodgers and I only have Rodgers, I only have one quarterback on my roster, which is the way I like to do it, I am not dropping anybody to replace Rodgers. I'm not going to do that. At least not anybody useful. You know, you have a dead spot on your roster and you have a quarterback out there that you like, that you think is going to have a good week this week. Maybe. You know, if Phillip Rivers is out there, yes, I would do that. But other than that, you know, I'm not going to drop a useful player to bench Aaron Rodgers. But he's at the bottom end of my top 10 quarterbacks. I just don't see him putting up big numbers here. Devontae Adams is someone, once again, Quincy Enunwa is somebody I could seriously think about starting over Adams. I just think he's a safer play.
We have a question over there on Twitter from @MagicRat62, who has a picture of Springsteen and Clarence Clemens as his avatar. So I will be happy to take his question here. Cam Newton or Patrick Mahomes? Assume we'll go season long here as context. Didn't say exactly, but are you starting Cam Newton or Patrick Mahomes in their matchups this week?
Cam, I'm probably Cam is safer. I don't think there's any doubt Cam is safer. If you want to stay at the safe play, you want to get your 16, 18, 20 points, go with Cam. If you want the higher upside, it's Mahomes. I do expect that game to be a shootout. I am more than likely going Mahomes here. I think his floor is a little higher here, and I'll take the chance on the upside.
Yep, I think that's right. It's really Cam to me in season long, unless your other positions need that high upside play, right? Like if you see that you're going to be, you know, to use the bad phrase, a Hail Mary anyway, then you go with Mahomes. But it feels like Newton's the safer play for sure. DFS, I probably lean Mahomes a bit more here for GPPs, for the tournaments, trying to get that big high upside score that you may not have with Cam Newton. Still plenty of games to get to here. We do have the phone lines opening up here, 844-843-6879. We want to hear from you, hear your start sits, and of course it's always open over there on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We're taking your calls, taking your tweets, talking about the rest of these games coming up after this break. It's Fantasy Sports Day. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz on FNTSY, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Here on Fantasy Sports Day, Dan Strapper, George Kurtz, rolling through the week two schedule, getting set set your lineup as always here on Fantasy Sports Day. Saturday edition, you have George Kurtz apparently repping some hockey games later today, so send him well wishes over on Twitter at George Kurtz. And then we'll be back with you tomorrow bringing you through the 4 p.m. games, right? You're on in the afternoon, George, when it comes to the breakdown of the NFL live sessions here on FNTSY.
I am. I'm the update guy. So you hear me at the top and bottom of each hour giving you the score update, fantasy news, injury news. I bring bad news, too.
Let's see. We have another question here on Twitter saying it's Jimmy Swatches, baseball fan 2016. Hey, guys, listening. Love it. Who would you rather start in DFS cash? Enunwa or Galladay? I like both this week. That's an easy one for Enunwa for me. We haven't gotten to Kenny Galladay and Detroit as of yet. That's coming up against San Francisco here momentarily, to be honest. We have Cleveland, New Orleans as our last 1 p.m. game. Where do you stand there? For me, it's a slam dunk for Enunwa, but do you see some value in Galladay and cash?
Oh, I don't think it's a slam dunk. I like Galladay, and I like Galladay a whole lot. Right. We saw Stafford throw to him a whole bunch last week. You know, I don't. When it comes to Galladay, he's going to eat into some of the Marvin Jones touches there. I don't think he's going to eat into Golden Tate, but he's going to eat into some of Marvin Jones there. Galladay's a big target, someone they can use in the end zone, in the red zone. I am probably also going Inunua here, mainly because it's on the road. Road game here in San Fran. Let's see if Galladay can do it again. I also wonder if that was more of a game flow because they were down by about 116 points through most of the game here. So that concerns me somewhat. I'll go Inunua as well, but I think Galladay is the higher upside guy here. I'd like him. I would probably switch it if it was in Detroit.
Yeah, for me, it's Galladay in tournaments and Inunua in cash. I feel like Inunua has a safer floor. With the other targets there for Detroit, and we've seen them in the past with Tate and Marvin Jones, I do agree that he'll take away some targets, but I feel like if Stafford's in a typical game flow here, you should see those guys get theirs. I don't know that you see another 12-target game from Galladay, but do appreciate that there's a gigantic high upside for him in that contest. Thank you to at BaseballFan2016 for that question and for listening, of course. So if you're listening now, the phones are open this segment. If you have questions, start sit. We'd be happy to answer them. It's 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. One more 1 p.m. game to get through. We made mention of this one earlier as well. Cleveland, New Orleans. And you get Tyrod Taylor and co. on the road. They are off to their best start in 10 years.
Is there 14 years?
Is it 14?
Couple of decades? Ever?
Man, it's amazing. It's amazing. Good for them with the tie. It means they didn't lose week one. So good. We do have a phone. Let's get to the phones. If we open up the phones and Kenny's on the line, we need to get to Kenny in Philadelphia. Kenny, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing, Georgie?
I think Kenny likes making fun of my name.
Hey, I think he likes saying it.
You don't know where I get that from? It's a Seinfeld reference. George Costanza's mom, how he talks, as he talks to him. She goes, hey, how you doing, Georgie?
I've never seen a Seinfeld episode, not one.
Oh my, you don't know what you're missing, buddy. Hey,
I hated Jerry Seinfeld.
I'm gonna give you guys. Well, it's too late now, but I'm gonna give y'all some knockout or suicide pool 101. First week, do not choose the divisional games. New Orleans, my Saints at Tampa Bay, favorite loss. Chiefs Chargers, favorite loss. Pittsburgh Cleveland tie. And Green Bay had to eke out a win in Chicago. So, I mean, there you have it. First week for everyone that's mad at my Saints. I am upset that we lost, but we've been 0-2 the past 5 years. So, to be honest, which I'm not surprised. Hopefully, we can get a win this week here in Cleveland, which I think we should be able to.
Kenny, have they really been 0-5 every – sorry, 0-2 every season?
0-2.
Jeez, I didn't know that.
Past 5 years. Yep, past 5 years, so – yeah, that's what on the Pittsburgh Steelers here. I think there is some things going on in that locker room, and that's why I got, like I told you guys, I believe last week I got the Bengals winning the division at 17-1 odds there. So, and so far so good. So hopefully we'll keep riding with that. What else? On to you said you didn't want to take the points on the Buffalo game there, George.
I can't trust the Buffalo Bills to take 8 points. I mean, I can't do it, man. They were horrific last week. I do wonder that if they get that little boost from going with Josh Allen, it's a home game and all that. But yeah, I think the Chargers are pretty pissed, too. I think I can't do it. I may not love giving 8 points, but I'm not taking Buffalo plus eight. I can't do it.
Well, Shady McCoy definitely plays better at home, so – and. If they can get a jump on them and get an early score or whatever, that'll make the game. I don't think that the Bills will win, but I think they can keep it within the 8 points. I mean, I definitely like Shady this week in a DFS. A couple other guys I like here. I love – nobody's going to play this guy this week, I don't think. I love Watson. I love the Watson to Hopkins connection there. And now that the cornerback for Pittsburgh out, I was trying to stay away from that game a little bit, but you got it. Now that Hayden's out, you got to get a little bit of that, and how can you not love Tyreek Hill in that game? How can you not love what we're hating out? So I like him. A couple other guys. I'll let you guys go. I like Deion Lewis. Of course, I like Kamara, Gurley, Case Keenum. Godson, if Deshaun Jackson doesn't play, Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed. And I like the Minnesota defense. I don't know whether Rodgers is going to play or not, but some telling me to lean in that direction there. So All right, folks, that's all I got, man. All right, I'll let you guys get back to the show. Good talking.
Thanks,
I'll talk
Kenny,
to you
all appreciate next it. Week. Yep, sounds good. We look forward to hearing from you next week. You know, the Vikings defense makes sense. Do you ever want to go against Rodgers? But if you are, again, projecting that he is injured, which we know he is, and that that will affect his gameplay, there'll be a low-owned, DFS-wise, there'll be low-owned and high upside. Rodgers tries to do too much sometimes. He throws the ball into tight spaces if he doesn't have a leg to really land on, push off of, and he's trying to do too much. Or the other side, if you have DeShone Kizer in there for any length of time, that's a big upside. So thanks for the call, Kenny. Definitely appreciate it. Any takeaways there for you, George, or responses you have to some of his plays?
Well, what he said about Survivor is absolutely true. I think we talked about this on the show last week,
We did. We did, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, don't take divisional games. I mean, even if they look like lopsided games, these generally divisional games, the two teams know each other so well, there's a rivalry there. You never know what's going to happen. You truly don't, especially early in the season where we don't really know the teams yet. So I try and stay away from divisional games, if at all possible. Once again, especially early, road games, I don't want to take the road team. You know, once again, I shouldn't need to do that early in the season here because you have so many choices here. And you don't want to go take a team on the road. Like I said, I do like the Chargers tomorrow, but survival-wise, I'm not taking them because I don't have to. They're on the road at Buffalo. There's no reason I should take that chance. You and I already pointed out that, hey, road game coming from out west, 1 o'clock, they generally have problems. So I don't need to take the Chargers, even though I think they'll win the game there, and I do want to pick on Buffalo. I'll have better options. That being said, one of my favorites tomorrow is the Rams over the Cardinals. I know I'm going against what I just said. It's a divisional game, but I also like Denver over Oakland too, and that's another divisional game, which means my survivor pick for tomorrow is going to be the Redskins over the Colts.
All right. Yep. I think that makes a ton of sense and is one I'm behind as well. I'm just going to take Buffalo. I'm kidding. I'm not taking Buffalo in my survivor pool. That was a joke. It was a joke. I'm full of them. Full of them here on Saturday morning. Let's go to...
If only they were funny.
Oh, George. George.
Sorry, you hung the curve there.
It was a bump set. The spike was there waiting for you. The Cleveland-New Orleans game, which Kenny with a nice transition there, talking about New Orleans last week, obviously a great spot for New Orleans to quote-unquote get right, even with putting up a ton of points last week. Not sure the offense has to do a lot. It's the secondary that's concerning here. Obviously, Fitzpatrick picking them apart. It seemed towards the end of last year that this defense really found itself, and the secondary was a large part of that. Do you think last week was simply a write-off? Was a divisional game, first game of the year, forget about it, move on? Or are there some, you know, cracks in the wall here when it comes to this New Orleans defense and giving some light to a Cleveland wide receiver core that actually has some talent in it?
You know, as a Pink Floyd fan, they were certainly missing a few bricks in that wall. That didn't work go well at all. And I don't think anybody saw that coming. 48 points. That was just strange. Now you said, it's week one, things didn't go well. They'll get back on track. I want to think that's what it was. I do. But I'd be lying if I said I'm positive that's the problem there. Maybe they just overperformed last year. You know, and now this year, maybe they haven't recovered from the safety's name, the cornerback's name who missed that tackle on Stephon Diggs. Maybe they haven't recovered from that yet.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that worst tackle ever. I could have made that tackle. Just really hold the guy up. You have to do anything else other than hold the guy up.
Just stand in his way.
Right. Nothing you needed to do. But whiffing on a tackle was probably the last option. That's a big spread.
Marcus Williams, by the way. Marcus Williams.
Mark Williams. Yeah, I knew it was Williams. I couldn't think of his first name. 9.5 points.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm taking Cleveland. I think they're good enough to cover that spread, even though I think New Orleans does win the game here. I can't lay that many points to Cleveland. Cleveland's not the Browns of old. I mean, this is a team that has talent. Now, Tyrod, whatever we want to pronounce that name, he was awful last week. I mean, awful. Once again, NFL quarterback-wise. Fantasy-wise, he was fine. Ran for 77 yards, touchdown throwing, touchdown running. He had a very good fantasy day. But as an NFL-wise, if you were a scout, you would think, ugh, you know, he's bad. So that's going to be the issue here. He'll need to be better this week because he's going to have to score points, but I don't think he won't need to score 48. I don't think they're willing to score 40 points this week. Cleveland has a decent enough defense here. I said I do like the Browns in the 9.5. I'm taking that. The over-under is 49. I probably like that, the over as well. I think points will have to be put on the board. Cleveland's going to have to score in the 20s. And I expect the New Orleans to score in the 20s. I think it could be high 20s at least, and 30s wouldn't shock me. So I'll take the over here. For the Saints, I mean, outside of Kamara, Breeze, and Thomas, do we trust anybody else? Could I start Ben Watson if you lost Olsen or Walker? Yes, I can. Once your options are limited here. You're looking for a tight end, too. I have no problem there. I'm not going down to any of the other wide receivers. You know, until somebody breaks out this, or until I see Drew Brees trust somebody else, I'm going to have to pass. Mike Thomas is fantastic. He's a wide receiver. One should have had an even bigger game last week as, once again, the officials in another terrible call took away I think it was in 75, 80-yard touchdown pass because they ruled him down when he was not down. Good job, officials. Although I believe on that drive, he ended up getting a touchdown pass anyway on that drive. So the only thing he really lost was the yardage more than anything else. So, but I still like everybody. Cleveland, Josh Gordon. Let's see, you drafted him. You have to put him in your lineup. I know he only had one catch last week. Luckily, it went for a touchdown, so he saved your day. It was played in the quagmire. I know somebody somewhere said I said used that word a lot on the shows last week. Quagmire, quagmire, quagmire. So there you go. It is a good word. I think I joked I had a word of the day calendar. I don't. I just like the word quagmire. Yeah. Gordon's going to go. I mean, it's starting Landry, of course. The running game, you want Hyde. And I think Duke Johnson shows up this week. You know, I think there'll be a lot of throws out of the backfield. So I think Duke Johnson gets back to being Duke Johnson.
Yep. I think everybody's in play here. Honestly, and I think your analysis of New Orleans is right. Outside of Kamara and Michael Thomas, it's tough to trust anyone else here to have the upside play you need in this sort of matchup. I don't know. You know, it's another intriguing one from a tournament perspective from DFS to stack this game a bit and go, you know, Gordon with Thomas and Breeze or Kamara and on this, you know, the New Orleans side plus the Tyrod and Gordon or a Landry. I don't know that Tyrod Taylor is going to win you a tournament. But if he happens to have a ceiling game, an efficient passing game, and a 100-plus rush game, he could be the one to put you over the top. So I do think it's at least worth doing a bit more research yourself and seeing how much you like Tyrod Taylor. 5,900 when Alex Smith is 6K, maybe a little tough pill to swallow. I'd prefer Alex Smith there to have a bigger game against the Colts, but I do think Tyrod Taylor well within reason here. We do have a question from Twitter. Jim Martell at jmartell42 says, you guys going Newton or Luck in a 10-team league standard? What do you got there, George, as you compare Newton and Andrew Luck in their matchups?
It's funny. All the questions at quarterback are about Cam Newton. Yep. Newton or Luck? I think I'm going Luck here. I think they have to throw the ball a bunch. I mean, it's close. Once again, Cam is the safer play. I said it earlier. If Josh Norman does shut down T.Y. Hilton, it could be some problems for that Indianapolis offense moving the ball here. But I think they're going to be trailing again. This is most games for Indianapolis. They're going to be trailing. They're going to have to throw the ball. I think Luck's back to being the player he was. I'll go Luck over Newton this week.
Yeah, even if Luck is 80% of the player he was, in the context of these games and the context of that defense, he's going to be putting up some pretty big numbers. You talk about less talented quarterbacks in the same breath because of the matchup and because of the context of how he's going to have to throw the football. Let's move on. We have some 4 p.m. games to get through pretty quickly here and then close it out talking about some DFS and some of our favorite wagers of the week. We have Detroit, San Francisco, Stafford, Garoppolo. What do you make of this? Do you go back to the Stafford well? Low ownership from a DFS perspective, obviously, as everyone expects him to be the Matt Stafford of last week, or do you? Is this a game that no real interest from a matchup perspective?
Oh, there's interest. I think points are going to be put on the board in this game as well. So there's interest here. Stafford was horrible. Maybe the Jets didn't know the plays. Maybe the Lions do all hate Matt Patricia, the new coach here, right? We've seen a lot of disharmony in Detroit. So certainly not a good thing there. That being said, I'm not worried about Stafford. He'll be fine. Just had a bad game. You know, like I said, the Jets did seem to know the whole cards. They knew what was coming here. So you're starting Stafford if you have him. Golden Tate, Marvin Jones. I do like Galladay as well. He's probably a wide receiver, a low wide receiver three and climbing, depending on what their usage is going to be in a normal game. Remember, Monday night was not a normal game. When you're, you know, trailing by, you know, six touchdowns, that's not normal. So I might worry about him a little bit. And the running game, more importantly overall, is non-existent once again. You know, fantasy-wise, I'm not starting any of them. You know, Blunt, it looks like he'll be a short yardage guy. Kerryon Johnson with 20s, but they can't open up holes anyway. And Theo Riddick, the pass catcher here. Don't want any of them. San Fran, I'm not starting Goodwin, even if he does play, has the quad. I don't know if he'll make it through the game. I should have better options on offense. Garoppolo, you should be fine. I think he'll throw the ball. Pierre Garçon is back in play this week.
We have three games to get to, and we'll try to power through them in the final segment here. I do want to get George's take on the New England-Jacksonville game, though, because he made mention before thinking Jacksonville's going to win that one. So want to talk about that one after the break, talk some DFS, talk some wagering, and then set you up for college football coming up at the top of the hour. You are listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz. Find us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio, and, of course, at Dan Strapper and at George Kurtz. More coming up after this on FNTSY Radio.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Shake it up here on Fantasy Sports Today. Sean Engel on the ones and twos here, the other side of the glass, getting us in and out of every break with some great music throughout the show. Don't forget, Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site with the exclusive single entry contest. It's fun and recreational place to play with smaller leagues and flatter prize pools. They have a great promo like Survivor, Super Bowl Squares, and March Madness Bracket Contest as well. Sign up today. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. Now, George, ran a little long here. That's on me, but have three games left. I do want to get your take on this New England-Jacksonville game. We have Arizona, L.A., and Oakland, Denver left. Two games I do want to get your thoughts on, but lots of injuries for New England with Sonny Michel and Rex Burkhead questionable heading into Sunday. Jacksonville with Jalen Ramsey, you made mention before. Quick take here. You said earlier you think Jacksonville wins this one, and that will put the Jets in a possible position to be 2-0 if they beat Miami and be in first place for the first time in like 50 years in the AFC East. What do you got here? What's your take here, and why do you think Jacksonville comes away with this one?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the late slate on Sunday, mainly for this game, and also because there are four games on, and I'll be able to watch all four live here in my little man cave. So, yay me, while doing those updates, by the way, for the Fantasy Football Live. I'm curious to see how Jacksonville's going to play this, you know, because you could make an argument that if I'm Jacksonville, I do put Jalen Ramsey on Gronk. You know, see if he can shut him down. You still got A.J. Boye one corner. Use your second corner on Dorsett and Hogan, which neither one's really a true NFL wide receiver one. But I wonder if that's going to be the game plan here. You know, I do wonder that. It may not be the entire game plan, but we've seen this before. You know, Charles Woodson back in the day, and when Green Bay played Dallas, would take out Jason Witten and force Dallas to find another security blanket. And it worked at times. So I wonder if that could be a play here. It's just something I'm throwing against the wall here. I haven't heard anything like that, but I'm curious. Especially if the Ramsey, you know, once again talked all his crap to see if they'll go in that direction. Because with, you know, Hogan, one catch. Either way, I'm not starting Hogan in fantasy, by the way. I'm not touching him. I'm not starting Dorsett either. Just a horrible matchups here. I think it's going to be a slug-out game. New England, who do you trust in the running game here? I mean, we talked about earlier, Burkhead, concussion. He's got the knee as well. Sonny Michel, even if he plays, I don't think he's much of a threat here. The only running back I trust right now in that backfield would be James White. He's more of a pass catcher. But even in standard leagues, I think you might get something this week out of him. I think he could be worth a start depending on what else you have on your roster there. Bottom line is this. I think New England's going to have problems scoring. I do. I think it's going to be an issue this week because of what they have left on offense and because of the matchup here. Not great. The over-under is 44. That's about, I'm not touching it. I think it's about right, so I'm going to pass on that. New England's minus 2.5. I like Jacksonville in the game. It's at home. It's going to be played in 90-degree heat. It's going to be warm. And the way the Jaguars play, the way they hit, I think New England's going to wear down as the game goes along. I'm going to go Jacksonville Jaguars here.
I like it. I like it a lot, and I think I'm on the James White train of all the running backs, and I am not one who typically plays New England running backs, but I just think the floor is pretty safe from a reception perspective, talking PPR leagues, talking PPR DFS sites. But I like the call here. And listen, this could be a game where Belichick schemes enough to get, you know, Jacksonville off their offensive game, and they figure out ways to have some takeaways. And that changes the entire dynamic. But I do think this is a tough spot for New England with the talent level they have to go in and win in Jacksonville with the weather as it is. Not that it doesn't get hot in New England and it doesn't get muggy, but this should be a bit of a tough slog for the Pats as they go in. Let's try to barrel through these other two games here on the 4 o'clock quickly. Make sure we get your takes on them. Arizona and the Los Angeles Rams. It's Goff versus Sam Bradford. Maybe we see Josh Rosen sometime soon. Todd Gurley, David Johnson, two of the most dynamic running backs in the NFL. And then you do have talented wide receivers in this contest. This is a game that should be fun. I think the Rams win it pretty easily. I don't think there's enough talent to go around on the Cardinals roster beyond their sort of top three or four talented skills players. Is this a walk away for the Rams, or do you see this as a closely contested contest in some way, shape, or form?
No, I think Arizona may be one of the worst teams in football here. Week in, week out, it'll be Johnson and Fitzgerald and nobody else. So the Rams are actually an easy team as far as fantasy is concerned. And for the Rams in this game, this is one of those games where if you have a Ram on your roster and you're not starting him, why are they on your roster? So you're starting, obviously, Gurley. Goff would be somebody who I would start over Aaron Rodgers in this game. I think he has a nice game here. Woods, Kupp, you know, Cooks, they all go here. I think this is, if it's not a blowout, it'll be the next worst thing.
It's a 13.5, which I didn't realize. I thought this was a lower spread here, but seeing 13.5 is a crazy number this early in the NFL, but that's how bad the Cardinals are, so we can take that for what it's worth. Let's close it out, Oakland and Denver, with our game-by-game. Obviously, there's the 8 o'clock on Mondays, but you have some Sunday time to go over those contests. Oakland and Denver here, a matchup in the AFC West. We've talked about divisional matchups being a concern, obviously, ones where we need to keep an eye on maybe closer games. They know each other so well. I love Keenum here. I do, again, go to him. It looks like a 6.5 spread, an over-under of about 46. This Oakland team's going to be bad, and I get people want to give Gruden another week, but I just think this is going to be an absolute debacle. We talked about it last week. I'm going to talk about it all season long, that I just think this is a train wreck waiting to happen. I think this is a pretty solid game for the Denver Broncos. Obviously, again, divisional game, crazy things happen in these matchups, but I'll take Bronco here, minus 6.5 currently. Would have loved to get them at the open at minus 4.5, minus 6.5 feels like a little bit of a stretch for me, but what do you make here? Is this a game that you think Oakland can hang in, or are you against the Gruden-led Oakland Raiders?
I agree with everything you said. This is one of my favorite games on the betting line. They take the home team here. Denver, we all know problems, but Denver, thin air and all that. Oakland played Monday night. I know it's a divisional game, and I know these two teams don't like each other, but I don't think Oakland has much. I just don't. You look at Denver. You're starting Thomas. You're starting Sanders. Keenum, I'm starting. I would not start him over Aaron Rodgers. I'm not quite going that low on my list. He's one of those guys who I do like, but I can't start him over Aaron Rodgers. Can't do it. Can't pull that trigger. Marshawn Lynch, I mean, once again, starting running back, you probably have to have him in your roster. I'd like to go in a different direction this week, mainly because, once again, I expect him to be trailing. If Lynch doesn't get into the end zone, he's not going to have a good fantasy day. Amari Cooper, I think he'll have a better game than week one, but that's not saying much. You know, once again, he's going up against top cornerbacks, top defense. It's not going to be easy here. I know I've got a decision in one of my leagues of Cooper or Quincy Enunwa. He's available on the waiver wire, and I have a player I can drop, and I keep telling myself two things. Cooper has to play better, but Enunwa is safer. And I should be taking Enunwa here, and I think I'm going to end up going that direction. In fact, I might do it right after the show and make that move. So I don't expect big things from anybody on the Oakland offense. That's the bottom line here. Just two bad matchups to open up the season. Rams and then Denver, two tough defenses. I feel bad for Gruden, but I love Denver in this game.
Another question from JMartel42 from Twitter, a two-parter, so I'll try to read it and then read it again. Do I play Howard, assuming Jordan Howard, over David Johnson? I have Melvin and Connor as well in RB2 and flex. And then there's
a
second part.
Oh, God.
So that's a decent running back core for this week.
Yeah, decent. It's okay.
What do you?
Got four running back ones. I feel real bad for you.
I will say it is a 10-team standard. So 10-team league, little bit of an all-star lineup. But do you play Jordan Howard over David Johnson?
It's against Seattle. They're banged up too. It's in Chicago. Yeah, I guess you do. I mean, that's incredible. You're just playing the matchups here. I love David Johnson, but it's against the Rams defense at the Rams. I do. But it's crazy. That's why 10-team leagues, you do have an all-star team. You're going to sit, two guys who are fantastic? Gordon, right. Connor, Howard, Johnson. My God.
Yep, there it is. He does have a second question here, which I think is more intriguing. Do I play Ricky Seals-Jones over Trey Burton? I know there's been some discussion around Seals-Jones against L.A. And as a tight end to watch as the season goes on. Trey Burton has been a darling as well of the fantasy community. Do you play RSJ over Trey Burton this week?
Yeah, I see where we're going here. You know, a lot of throws for Arizona. They'll be trailing in the game. I can't do it, though. Burton's the better play here. I'll stick with him. I like Burton. He'll play better as the season goes on. And Seattle has far from the greatest defense as well. And they're banged up at the linebacker core. Give me Trey Burton.
Yep. I agree with that analysis. Closing it out here, I want to get your quick take on some DFS plays. Who are the, maybe run down some of your top targets as you look through lineups you've set or the research you've done. What quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers do you like best?
Well, like you said you want to stack that Pittsburgh KC game. I've been looking at the same thing. Like I said, I rarely, rarely pay up for Antonio Brown. I think he's 8,800, and I paid for him this week. I think points coming up on the board. You know, Ben is crying. He's saying, I don't feel good. And I shut up and play football. And I think a lot of points are coming here. You know, I do. So I paid up for Brown. I mentioned Alex Smith as my quarterback. Generally, when it comes to quarterback, I go with the cheapest guy that I can live with. And because I want to save money at quarterback. Yeah, I think Alex Smith is good. He had a couple of touchdown passes last week. I think he might even do better in the home opener this week against Indianapolis. And I'm also picking on Indianapolis. Tevin Coleman, his price does not reflect that he's starting. So I'm taking him. James Conner I'm taking. I mentioned Crowder earlier. I do need to save money somewhere, and that's where Kenny Galladay comes in. He is in my lineup. George Kittle at tight end. This is my favorite lineup, by the way. I might tweak it a little bit, but this is generally where I'm going. Nelson Aguilar, once again, Tampa Bay is beat up in the secondary. And we saw a lot last week of Aguilar was catching all those short passes. He actually became a poor man's Jarvis Landry. And what I mean about that is lots of catches, but no yak. You know, so that's not great. You want more yak. You certainly want more downfield passing. And even though I don't love the Chargers defense right now, I got to take them against Buffalo, against Josh Allen, making his first start. You got to think he's going to turn the ball over a time or two.
I will throw a couple of names into the mix here for DFS purposes. I do have some Dante Pettis for San Francisco against Detroit here, who's being inserted instead of Goodwin with the thigh injury that Goodwin is dealing with. So have sprinkled him in from a couple of spots. Love the Texans defense here. I mentioned that earlier. I have some James White. Love Roethlisberger, obviously, Nelson Aguilar. You mentioned Antonio Brown's chalk, and I know it, so I'm going to deal with that as it is. Working on some Washington Colts game stacks. I think that'll be a game that I try to get some pieces of and make sure that I have exposure to, because I think that can be a higher scoring one. And I do think that running backs wise, you have plenty of options to choose from here across multiple different price points. Kamara is a great play. Can't pay $9,500 for him on DraftKings. Just too much of my cap space to go to one player. But I do think obviously there's gigantic upside for him in that matchup. And then what's your overall take on Adrian Peterson? Like what is your belief here on what he's going to do? Is this maybe 4 or 5 weeks of RB1 talent, and then we see him fade out as the season goes on? Was last week an aberration? What, like, how do you feel this plays out for AP as the season goes on?
Oh, I like how you put it. 4 or 5 weeks of RB1 before he'll start to flame out a little bit. I think that makes sense. He's an older back. You know, he has a great matchup this week. He gets Indianapolis, once again, bad team. I did bring up the stat from last year. He had 2 100-yard games last year, or 2 very good games last year. The immediate following week, not so much. You know, and that may not have been on him, more about the situations he was in and all that jazz. But I have no problem with him this week. It's, once again, it's against Indianapolis. He'll get the job done. I don't know if he's got as big a game as he had last week, but he'll have a good game.
All right. Any other names or notes or things that you're keeping track of going into lineup lock Sunday morning, Saturday night, wherever your lineups lock, and DFS lock? Anything that you want the listeners to know about or keep an eye out for as we close out the show here on Saturday morning?
Well, first of all, I truly hope your lineups don't lock on Saturday night. I did play in a league that did that once.
That's fair.
That's horrific. I mean, that is just horrific. I mean, they're always late inactives at 11:30 on our Saturday that we're going to panic about. So that just drives me insane. Fantasy owners, boy, you're going to have a tough decision with Leonard Fournette tomorrow, because I don't think we're going to know by 11:30. You know, I just don't think we're going to know by 11:30. If you have T.J. Yeldon, that's great. You'll be able to just at 3:30 or what is it, 3 o'clock, you'll be able to make that decision which guy you're going to go with, Fournette or Yeldon. If Fournette starts, you almost have to go with him. If he doesn't, you go with Yeldon. There you go. But if you don't have Yeldon and you have somebody at the 1 o'clock games, generally I don't risk zeros. I don't. Yep. If I don't have another running back in the 4 o'clock game, and I'd want to. This is, once again, it's a strategy thing. If you can change a guy up to game time, you better make sure you get a running back from a 4 o'clock game if you don't have Yeldon. You know, whoever that might be. Hopefully, you know, maybe Breed is out there. Alfred Morris could be out there. Maybe Philip Lindsay didn't get taken in your league. You know, maybe you want to look at someone in Oakland besides Marshawn Lynch. I understand it's desperation here, but yeah, just in case Fournette's deactivated, you know, you better go out and get somebody. So I would be very, very careful there. So you don't want to get caught with your pants down, because I don't think we're going to know. I think Jacksonville's not going to tell us they're going to want to play a coy, keep New England guessing here. So that's one thing. And be very careful there. We don't know about Leonard Fournette. Talked about earlier about Aaron Rodgers. You know, we always say don't sit your studs, but sometimes, you know, depending on who else you have here, I really don't like this matchup. He's banged up. He's going to have to play from the pocket. It's against one of the best defenses in the NFL. They've shut him down in the past. I don't see big things coming from Aaron Rodgers or Devontae Adams tomorrow. I don't want to get too cute, but, you know, if your second quarterback ended up being someone like Andrew Luck, which it very well might have been, Jared Goff, I'm fine with sitting Aaron Rodgers tomorrow. Devontae Adams, same thing here. Like I said, I don't want to get too cute. I'm not going down to Case Keenum or anybody like that. But I'm okay with doing it. Once again, I'm just playing the numbers here, just playing the odds. Not as far as the night game's going, I'm not taking anybody on Dallas, the Dallas passing game. That passing game is putrid, and it's not going to get much better tomorrow. They can't throw the ball. There's no one for Dak to throw to here. We did talk a little bit about Seattle. No Doug Baldwin. Good luck, Russell. I mean, Brandon Marshall is certainly in play now. While Brandon Marshall and Adrian Peterson are almost the same guy. For the first 4 or 5 weeks, I think they'll be good until they start to slow down with the hits. They add up, and then they'll play like the players we expected them to be coming into the season. But you got to feel bad for Russell Wilson. I mean, he's a great quarterback, and they just keep forcing him over and over and over again to do it by himself without much talent around him. I mean, it's asking too much here. I know a lot of Tariq Cohen owners are worried because all of a sudden Jordan Howard's catching balls. And if Jordan Howard's going to catch 50-plus balls, he's easily going to be a running back one this year. And you've got a huge bonus no matter where you drafted him. If I'm a Cohen owner, I think he'll be fine. I'm not going to panic too much after week one. But Jordan Howard looks really, really good.
All good stuff there. Find George on Twitter, of course, at George Kurtz. Also find him here at Fantasy Radio all day on Sunday, getting you your updates in the second half of the day. Coming up next, you do have college football today, so you want to stay tuned for that. They'll talk all things college from 10 to 1 p.m. right here on Fantasy Sports Radio at FNTS Radio. FNTSY Radio on Twitter. So much fun here each and every Saturday morning. George and myself bringing you our look at NFL week by week. We'll be back next Saturday at 8 a.m. Thanks so much to Sean Engel for the production. For George Kurtz, Dan Strafford, enjoy your Saturdays and best of luck week 2 of the NFL season.